I heard a man say once that from his perspective, he says, it seems like parents today care mostly about their children being either popular, athletic, or appearing to be smart. It's a bold statement. This guy is a parent himself, and he's making this statement simply from his own observation. Maybe you can relate, or maybe you disagree. But what I can say for sure is that parents certainly desire for their kids to be happy. At least most parents. Most parents want what's best for their children. And then the conversation comes into play because different parents have different ideas of what happiness may look like. Different parents have different understandings of the path to happiness. And so that then brings the discussion of how to make that possible for their kids. Some parents prioritize popularity. Others, sports. Others, schoolwork. In today's gospel, Jesus is telling us a parable about the wise and prudent steward. And this wise and prudent steward, of course, it's a long gospel. It's kind of hard to pay attention the whole way through. This wise and prudent steward is put in charge of the master's house as he is away. He's put in charge of all of his property and all of his servants. And the wise and prudent steward is one who is vigilant because he doesn't know when the master is going to return. But when he does, he's ready because he's always vigilant. And this wise and prudent steward is then rewarded. But then Jesus also brings up the other point of view. Those stewards who were unwise, who indulged and took advantage of the property and the people while the master was away. When the master returns at the unexpected hour, these stewards are punished. And then Jesus summarizes this parable by saying, much will be required of those entrusted with much, and still more will be demanded of those given more. So on the surface level, as we read this parable, in one sense, we can all just acknowledge, okay, like we live in America and all of us have our basic needs met. And so we can at least acknowledge that we've been blessed with a lot of things and therefore much is expected of us because we've been given much. And on a spiritual level, we can also jump into this passage and recognize that probably most of us have been baptized. And if you've been baptized, you've been given much, and therefore much is required of you. Much is expected of you because you have Jesus. You have the Holy Spirit in your heart. Even if you don't have a good relationship with Him, you've been baptized, and therefore much is expected. But you know, as I was praying with this passage this week, what really struck me was the reality of parenting. How parents, in particular, are entrusted with much. They're entrusted with a human person or human persons in their care. And therefore, much is required of them. Much is expected. And we all know, everyone in this room knows, that parenting is not easy. In fact, we could argue it's perhaps the most difficult thing that any person will strive to do in this life as parent. So difficult. There's so much that is expected of you as parents. But I want to reflect on this today because what we do know is that in addition to all the other things that you want for your children, you, parents, are the primary educators in faith for your children. You, parents, are the first role models in faith for your children. And the level with which you take that seriously has an incredible influence on the lives of your children. But it's still difficult. That's a daunting task. So I want to begin with a few questions. But before I do, you know, many of you in here are not parents yet. And so you may just check out and say, this homily is not for me. But it is for you. Because even if you're not a parent yet, you may be one day. And even if not, all of us need to at least appreciate, but even more than appreciate, all of us need to support and encourage parents. Because if there's one thing that the enemy hates, is family. He does everything he can to tear families apart and to destroy the influence of parents in their children's lives. And so today I just want to reflect on the value of parenting so that all of us can work together to support that. So those of you who are parents or grandparents, do your kids love Jesus? Do they really know him? Do they have a deep relationship, personal friendship with him? If they do, praise God. Grandparents, do your grandchildren love Jesus? Do they know him? And do they have a deep relationship with him? If they do, praise the Lord. You are blessed with an extraordinary gift. And whatever you're doing, just keep doing it because we want to keep that going. But if the answer is no, or if the answer is not as much as you wished or hoped for, be not discouraged. Because it's never too late for anyone, and God doesn't give up on any of his children. I want to equip those parents who have children that do not love Jesus with a few tools on what to do. We form disciples by modeling intimacy with God and running together towards heaven. That's our mission at St. Leo. We embrace that. We own up to it. This is who we are. This is who we want to be. This is our primary purpose. And this applies to all of our relationships, but in particular today, we can see how it applies to parents. We form disciples. Parents are forming disciples in their children by modeling intimacy with God, so by themselves first being the witness of a relationship with God, and by running together towards heaven, by bringing their kids, raising their kids towards heaven together, growing together in faith. So how can we do this? How do we get our children to love Jesus? So I just want to offer up a few suggestions. I'm sure there's plenty to add to this conversation. This is a big conversation in which we need to continue having, one that will probably continue to learn, discover new things for years to come. But at least for tonight, I'll offer a few suggestions. The way that I see it, I see four stages in parenting. There's parenting of babies, parenting of kids, parenting of teenagers, and parenting of adults. So you may find yourself in a different season. You may find yourself in more than one of those seasons right now. So I'll go through each one, and I believe that depending on the season that you find yourself in, you have a particular role to play in order to get your kids to love Jesus. So we'll start with parents of babies. Parents of babies, your primary role is to provide. This is kind of obvious on a natural level. You know, you have to change their diaper and feed them and give them a comfortable place to sleep. You got to take care of their physical needs. You also have to provide for their emotional needs. You got to hold them and kiss them and talk to them so gently and all of those emotional needs that are so essential, especially in those first moments of their life. But on a spiritual level, it's true as well. We need to provide for their spiritual needs. And of course, that means to pray for them. But even more so, as parents of babies, the primary way that you can provide for their spiritual needs is to baptize them. It may seem obvious, but it stands important to say. Sometimes we think baptism is just a ceremony that we need to perform. It's cultural. Maybe some parents I know with good intentions decide to wait to baptize their kids so that the kids can be old enough to choose it. What we forget sometimes is that in addition to being cleansed of original sin and adopted as a child of God, what happens at baptism is that they receive the gift of faith. We know that theologically, that faith is not just a random choice that we make. Faith is a gift that we receive. Faith comes from God. We receive it, pure gift. The primary place that we receive that is through baptism, which is why we baptize babies. Because parents, in loving their children, choose to give their children the greatest gift they could ever receive, namely faith. You can even receive it as an infant without choosing it. Certainly, there's an element of choice in faith that as we grow older, we are able to choose to respond to that gift in faith. That's an important piece. But the primary purpose of baptism is to receive the gift of faith. Parents of babies, we want to make sure that we provide that for them. Then there's parents of kids. How do we get our children to love Jesus? Parents of kids, your primary role is to teach, which of course is true on a natural level. You have to teach your kids how to brush their teeth, how to tie their shoe, how to look both ways before crossing the street. You have to teach your kids how to go to school and listen to the teachers and not get in trouble, how to do your homework and how to count and how to spell and how to do math and science and history and all these things. You have to teach your kids how to have good manners and how to have good friendships and good relationships in their lives. But on a spiritual level, you have to teach your kids about Jesus. Teach your kids about the church, his bride. Teach your kids about the truth and the beauty, the goodness of our faith. It's so rich, which can seem a little daunting for a lot of parents because some parents feel ill-equipped. They feel like, I didn't get all that I need in order to teach my kids what they need. If there's one thing that you teach your kids whenever they are kids, if there's one thing that you are successful in teaching them, it's this, to keep it simple, that they are loved by God. That God our Father loves them. That they are known by Jesus. If you can somehow figure out a way to teach your kids that message before they become teenagers, they are at a huge advantage. There are so many people in this world that live their whole life without ever really knowing that reality. If you as parents can teach them that, you've done something good. And all the other truths of our faiths, of our faith, the truths of Scripture and tradition, all of that begins to blossom if they have that fundamental reality of knowing they are loved by Christ. But if they don't know that, all the other truths can only go so deep, and it's so fragile and can easily be lost at any point. Then there's parents of teenagers, and you see, ooh, this one's hard. This is a hard one because teenagers are like miniature adults. They desire, they long to be treated like adults, and in many ways, they really are adults, but lacking the experience. And so it's difficult because sometimes these teenagers, we find, know things that we don't. And they get pretty good at refuting our point of view. And so it's tough. We find ourselves stressing out because they ask us questions that we can't answer. Or they might disagree with something that frightens us. What are we to do about our teenagers? Pope St. Paul the VI was quoted at once saying that in today's world, people are more interested in witnesses than they are in teachers. And if there is a teacher, he needs to first be a witness. I believe that's true for everyone, but in particular, I really think that's true for teens. In my experience, a lot of teenagers need a witness. They're not looking for a teacher. They're tired of being talked at. They're tired of being treated like they're in the third grade, because they're not anymore. They know how to think for themselves. They know how to try new things and make their own decisions. So they're looking first for a witness, an example, a model. What I believe your role is as parents, if you have a teenager, is to be a mentor. A mentor is a little bit different than a teacher, because a mentor is also growing. A mentor doesn't have all the answers. A mentor is willing to admit when they don't know, but is committed to walking side by side in the right direction. A mentor speaks from experience. A mentor is vulnerable enough to admit when they're wrong and admit when they're weak. But a mentor always has hope for the goal. A mentor knows where they're going. A mentor is able to encourage, to push, to challenge, to give direction whenever the mentee is lost. We're no longer talking at our kids. We're talking to our teenagers, walking side by side in the right direction. Don't be afraid of your teenagers' questions. Don't be afraid of their failures and their mistakes. They want to learn for themselves. They want to discover for themselves. That is frightening as a parent, because parents are used to having a lot of control over their babies and still quite a bit of control over their kids. But there's very little control that they have over their teenagers. But that's a good thing. You can still love them and offer your mentorship. Then there is parents of adult children. And you see, something interesting happens when the kids turn 18. They realize that legally they get to make their own choices. And even though you might be able to hold a little bit of control over their lives with their physical needs because of the beauty of money, and even though there may be a little bit of control over their lives with emotional needs, you don't have any control over their spiritual life. You have zero control in their spiritual life when they are adults. So what is your role? Your role is to evangelize, just as we would anyone else that we don't have any authority or control over. How do we evangelize? Well, I'm a firm believer, and we've said this so many times before, that evangelization is not a program, it's a relationship. We evangelize by meeting them face to face, by personally investing ourselves in their particular situation. And everybody is so unique and different. Everybody has their own story, their own background, and their own baggage. Some people need to be heard. Other people need to be consoled. Some people need to be challenged. Some people need to be encouraged. Still others need to be inspired. And the list goes on, because everyone is different. It's not black and white. And we have to have the humility as parents of adult children to recognize that we don't have control over them. And the more that we cling to control, the more that we will distance ourselves from our children. The more that we talk to them like they're still in third grade, the more they will stay away from us. Instead, we have to recognize that they are adults. And we evangelize adults by investing our lives in that relationship. And that relationship is so personal and so unique. Sometimes we have to recognize that due to complicated circumstances, all that we can do is pray. And it's an unfortunate and difficult thing to be in that situation when you find yourself powerless without any real sense of hope other than your faith. But rest assured, we know that our prayers are powerful. If your adult child is far from the church, be not discouraged. God does not give up on his children. And your prayers mean something. And your tears with your prayers mean something. Just as it meant something for St. Augustine from St. Monica. Today we pray for parents because it's hard to parent. They have a huge task, a huge responsibility. Jesus says that much is required for those who are entrusted with much. If your kids are not yet 18, you have a lot of work to do. You have to provide, teach, and mentor your children. Your primary goal, above popularity, sports, academics, or anything else, your primary goal is that they love Jesus. Let them know that they are loved by him and show them how to love him in return. We form disciples by modeling intimacy with God and walking together toward heaven. We as parents are the first educators in our faith. We model our relationship with God first, and we walk side by side with our children towards heaven. Be not discouraged, no matter what situation you find yourself in, because God always has a better future in store for us. Amen.